With unification came the desire to ensure that Berlin, the epitome of the new Reich, had a university second to none. Germany's most renowned physicist, Hermann von Helmholtz, was enticed from Heidelberg. A trained surgeon, Helmholtz was also a celebrated physiologist who had made fundamental contributions to understanding the workings of the human eye after his invention of the ophthalmoscope. The 50-year-old polymath knew his worth. Apart from a salary several times the norm, Helmholtz demanded a magnificent new physics institute. It was still being built in 1877 when Planck arrived in Berlin and began attending lectures in the university's main building, a former palace on Unter den Linden, opposite the Opera House. As a teacher, Helmholtz was a severe disappointment. It was obvious, Planck said later, that Helmholtz never prepared his lectures properly. Gustav Kirchhoff, who had also transferred from Heidelberg to become the professor of theoretical physics, was so well prepared that he delivered his lectures like a memorized text, dry and monotonous. Expecting to be inspired, Planck admitted that the lectures of these men netted me no perceptible gain. Seeking to quench his thirst for advanced scientific knowledge, he stumbled across the work of Rudolf Clausius, a 56-year-old German physicist at Bonn University. In stark contrast to the lackluster teaching of his two esteemed professors, Planck was immediately enthralled by Clausius's lucid style and enlightening clarity of reasoning. His enthusiasm for physics returned as he read Clausius's papers on thermodynamics. Dealing with heat and its relationship to different forms of energy, the fundamentals of thermodynamics were at the time encapsulated in just two laws. The first was a rigorous formulation of the fact that energy, in whatever guise, possessed the special property of being conserved. Energy could neither be created nor destroyed, but only converted from one form to another. An apple hanging from a tree possesses potential energy by virtue of its position in the Earth's gravitational field, its height above the ground. When it falls, the apple's potential energy is converted into kinetic energy, the energy of motion.